Good afternoon. You are listening to the Domestic Violence Awareness and Education Program. And my name is Donna Hawkes, and I'm your host for this program. And today we are going to be visiting with Georgia Holiday, who is the advocate at the Women's Lodge here in Lake Andes, South Dakota. And Georgia has been with us for since almost the beginning, a few months into the beginning of the year, I believe. And so we're going to visit today about advocacy. Last week we talked with Lynn Archambault, and she talked about advocacy in general in the multitude of different areas that an advocate has to be pretty well versed in, you know. And it's a tough job, but it's a very much needed job. It's very much needed, and it's very much appreciated job by the women who are experiencing domestic and or sexual violence in their lives when they go to an advocate for help. So today we're going to really kind of focus on the housing issues, because as you know, our listeners who live on the reservations or who come from the reservations or Indian country know that housing is so lacking on virtually every reservation in this country. And there's not enough housing. The housing is so often substandard, and it's very difficult to, if a woman is leaving a violent relationship situation, and if she's the one to leave the home, more times than not, she is going to have to move in with a family member because there is just no housing available. So with that, I'm going to say good afternoon to Georgia, and thank you, Georgia, for joining us today. So first of all, I want to, of course, recognize Georgia for her work that she does as an advocate, and she's been doing some really awesome work over there. And like I said earlier, Georgia, we were going to try to focus on housing issues, because that's such, no matter what kind of situation in, housing is always difficult to find.
Yes. When a woman comes into the Women's Lodge or the shelter over here for domestic violence, it's usually through a police officer. And it's sad to say that once you're coming in from a domestic violence issue, then almost always you're losing your home. You're losing your home for yourself and your children. And usually it's the perpetrator that stays within the home. Mm-hmm. And the police officer, removes you as the woman and your child or children, and you have no place to go. And once you come into the shelter here, we try everything we can to have you apply for housing. And there's several places you can apply for housing. And one of them on our reservation is the Yankton Sioux Tribal Housing here in Wagner. And also the APC Management in Huron. And the Lake Andes Housing Authority here in Lake Andes. But they have a long waiting list. And the process is long and lengthy too, as are the applications. And all the stuff that you need on these applications, like you're going to need social security cards and birth certificates, and if you've left the home without those pertinent documents, then you have to find a way to get those.
To replace them?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And
work
it's
with them, yeah.
Yes, it's really hard. And another thing, when you're needing housing, you've already come from a domestic violent situation, so therefore the police have been called.
Mm-hmm.
And then most of these places ask for a background check.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
there you have a violence issue, and it isn't your violence that's
mm-hmm.
thrown
mm-hmm.
you out of the house, but still that they're going to look at that is the police have been called to that home, and the background check is going to come up, you know, different issues like that. And
so this would be where in particular your work as an advocate would really any advocate out there who's helping really can simply because she has been a victim of domestic violence.
That's true. We ask that, you know, well, the police will help us too in getting a protection order against the perpetrator. And once that's in place, then we can actually show the people that are renting that, you know, we have this protection order that's to protect her against the perpetrator as a victim. And once that's in place, it should, you know, we hope, give the renter a reason to feel that there is not going to be any violence in the home.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, and also, it's discrimination, wouldn't it be, on the owner's side? If the owner is not willing to rent to someone who is beyond her own abilities is in this kind of situation.
Yes, you would think that would be the case, but now that the police have been called, and sometimes when the police are called, it happens where the women are also charged with
mm-hmm.
domestic violence. And there they have something on their background check that's going to keep them from getting housing.
And you're talking about dual arrest.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to say that that doesn't happen anymore, but it does.
Mm-hmm.
And we find a lot of women that come into our shelter who want to move to a different area in the state of South Dakota, and even the shelters that we're taking them to are doing background checks, and the shelters will keep them out because they have prior arrests, they have prior convictions.
Okay, so you're talking about domestic violence shelters who are actually doing background checks themselves. Now, is this not a common practice though, correct?
I found that just one shelter in particular does background checks, but it's in our rural area. They want to go to the bigger cities, you know,
mm-hmm.
because housing is more available, and that's what's happening within, you know, the state of South Dakota. I mean, not shelters that are connected to the coalition, but.
Uh-huh. Okay, but you have run into that. There's been one incidence of a shelter in South Dakota who, well, that is, you know, the whole issue of being displaced, you know, from your home, from your community, from your family, and that in and of itself just presents so many dilemmas for a woman. To be able to make that choice. And, you know, in our housing situation as it is now, I mean, we already have many households who, you know, there's more than maybe one family living in that house. And that's just out of necessity. So when a woman is fleeing from a domestic situation, the many times she will go to a relative and then call the shelter. And so here at the lodge, a woman is able to really get the help that she needs and the time in looking for a place to live.
Yes, we help with all the applications as soon as a woman is, you know, comfortable, because when she comes in and she's fleeing a domestic violence situation, she's usually agitated.
Right.
And once they are, you know, in a comfortable situation, we can have them apply for housing and hopefully, you know, get on those lists. And in the meantime, look for private people that'll want to rent.
Mm-hmm.
Then that runs into an area of high costs.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to rent from an individual who's not on subsidized housing,
mm-hmm.
then it's going to cost more. And there's a lot of places out here who help you with deposits for utilities.
Mm-hmm.
And we work with those people and those programs to help the individual meet her deposits and rent,
mm-hmm.
and utility cost, and also deposits on utilities. And it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money to move household.
Yes.
And of course, you know, when you're not doing that, when you're moving household at times, you know, in your wallet in your wallet to keep those kinds of identification when you have young ones with you. You know, the social security cards. I know I carry my social security card around in my wallet, and you know, I'm not so young, but sometimes you need it, you know, for different things. So I have my social security card, you know, driver's license, tribal ID. You know, there's so many things that people need. Agencies need to verify identification. So it's always good to have those cards and whatever it is that you need in your billfold at all times.
Yes. A woman and her children don't actually have to come into shelter to get this help. We could help an individual. Let's say if you're in a domestic violence situation and you're not able to leave that home right at, you know, a moment's notice, you could call us and we could help you fill out these applications. We could mail them to you, or you could come in and we'd help you fill out these applications. So you would get on this mailing list, or this waiting list, excuse me, and you'd have a better chance in getting housing when you need it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And of course the you know, the best situation in a bad situation is that the woman would not have to leave her home. And we're talking in terms of course, those women who do need to move out of the house or do need to flee the home. And hopefully a woman and her family will be able to stay in the home and the perpetrator would be removed.
That would be the ideal situation.
Mm-hmm. And as we all know, that doesn't happen all the time. So we've got, you know, several issues here that we've talked about in terms of only housing, only housing issues. So you can see the kind of barriers and the kind of hurdles that a woman has to make in order to keep herself safe and her children safe when she is in a domestic violence relationship and situation. So, and I just keep coming back to that thought of the shelter who is doing background checks. doing background checks on women who are seeking shelter. And
well, actually, most of the federal housing do background checks
mm-hmm.
on you, and financial background checks too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard for these women when they actually do get their applications filled out, and they need references, and they need financial
mm-hmm.
references. They need to keep these, you know, in order.
Looking at the possibility of having to pick up and move, Georgia has provided us this afternoon with some really good information about what to anticipate if you haven't already experienced it, what to anticipate if you do move into the urban areas when you're looking for a rental, that you're going to have to very often go through a credit check, and depending on your situation and the relationship that you may be leaving, maybe that relationship has caused you to incur some bad credit. And so there are these kinds of things that you have to be very aware of in the event that you would have to begin a new household. And in almost every urban area, I don't know of one that doesn't have a program, either a shelter or a DV program, who is available to help you go through the process that you would need to go through in looking for a new home. And when we're on the reservation, of course, there are those issues of lack of housing, lack of availability. And, you know, we have more and more, we're getting some apartment complexes. You know, we have some in Wagner, and we have some in Lake Andes. There's new ones that, you know, have gone up over the past few years, and over in Mission. But that's, you know, it's certainly not substantially alleviating the housing shortage.
Not at all. There's different agencies that you could apply for housing, and APC is located in Huron, and they have a couple apartment complexes here in Lake Andes and one in Wagner, the Dakota View. And if you call an 800 number, 1-800-545-5307, they'll send you an application. And that's one where you can actually pick an area. So let's say if you wanted to move to Mitchell or Yankton, you can prioritize it. Maybe three areas you'd put down, like your top being Wagner and then Mitchell or Sioux Falls.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good to get on that waiting list and get your application filled out and your social security cards and leave them a number where you can be reached so that they can get back to you if they need anything else. And the waiting list for that, I think, is up to 3 to 6 months.
Mm-hmm. And that's pretty standard, I think, for waiting lists like that. What about the, you know, have you been able to work with, say, someone like this
APC?
APC.
Management.
And have they worked with the shelter in trying to move somebody, you know, in an emergency situation?
No, they don't really do the emergency situations. That's why I'm saying, you know, start filling out your application now. And we had one lady, and it took her six months, and she finally got a home. Mm-hmm. And but she had, as soon as she came in, we had her fill out these applications. She had a contact number, and they got back to her, and she just moved into her home last weekend.
So that's, yeah. And I know local people are, you know, they're aware of these things for the most part. And so if there's any more information that you want, or some ideas, or some help, or just to toss something around and to make sure, because if you're experiencing a DV situation, then these are the kind of things that you can just call the shelter. If you're able to make that call, or make it from a friend or a relative's phone, and talk to the staff there at the Women's Lodge, and they can help direct you on this. Because it can be so, you know, at the beginning of the program we talked about how in a situation, a DV situation, that, you know, so, okay, so a woman can be as prepared as possible, but nevertheless, you know, there's all, y'all need a little bit of help there.
Yes. You can call us at the Women's Lodge, either Lynn or myself, and our number is 605-487-7130.
Okay, so that number again is 605-487-7130. And any questions around issues of domestic violence, or if you need help regarding housing issues, or any other kind of help when you're in a domestic situation. And these women are awesome. They are really awesome, and they're doing, you know, just really, they're doing the good work over there. So don't be afraid to call and ask for help if you need help. And sometimes it's very hard for us to do that, to ask for help, but don't be afraid to do it, you know. That's why the shelter programs exist, and for the well-being and the good welfare of women and their children. So I want to thank you, Georgia, for coming in today and being brave and coming on the radio, or at least on the internet radio, and sharing this information with our audience.